If most people were asked how each of the four Gospels begin telling Jesus' story, they would say, with the Christmas story, of course. And that answer would be true for two of the four Gospels, Matthew and Luke. It would not, however, be true for the other Gospels, including the Gospel of Mark, the first of the recorded Gospels. If the Gospel of Mark doesn't begin with the Christmas story, you might ask, then how does it start? With Jesus' baptism, I would reply. Why would it do that? What's so important about the baptismal moment anyway? Well, let's pause for a moment and hear one of the accounts of Jesus' baptism, the one from the Gospel of Matthew, and then let's come back together and see if we can figure out why baptism is so important. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 is read from the Common English Bible. At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you. Yet you come to me?" Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." Thus ends the reading. So this week I had a powerful reminder of just how different our lives can be when we lead them from a place of faith. The reminder came as I began my job search for a new position after I leave parish ministry the end of April this year. I thought the perfect place to begin was to sign up for several employment websites that could pull up listings of job possibilities. And as I started to do that, right out of the gates, I ran into trouble. For you see, most employment websites assume that you have pretty specific parameters about your upcoming search. Things like, what city do you want to live? What kind of job or job titles are you seeking? And what salary range would you consider acceptable? Now, I can see why they ask all of those things, because most people do have pretty specific parameters in mind. But when you live your life with a consuming desire to follow Jesus and to land up where God would have you be, it doesn't quite work that way. You can't just say, "I want a listing of accounting jobs in Denver, Colorado that makes between $75,000 and $100,000. And no matter how hard I looked, there was no drop-down menu option that said where God would have me be. So, what do we do in those big moments of life? Those moments when we reach a fork in the road and have no predetermined notion of which road to take? Well, here's where our baptisms come in. How, you ask? Well, one of my UCC ministry colleagues, a woman by the name of Mary Ludi, wrote a brilliant devotion that can help us understand that. And in explaining how baptism can guide us through those truly big moments in life, Mary used a story from Jesus' life. A story that on the surface would seem to have nothing to do with this morning's passage, but a story that, if you dig deeper, has everything to do with our passage. The story that Mary chose came from early in Jesus' public ministry, when he made an appearance at the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. And in that story, after proclaiming himself to be the fulfillment of Scripture, Jesus immediately challenged his friends and neighbors by reminding them that God doesn't always work in and through the folks we would expect him to. That God often uses surprising and completely unexpected vessels to do God's work. Now, you'd think folks would have loved to hear that message from a hometown boy, right? Wrong. In fact, his message offended his friends and neighbors so much that they were ready to drag Jesus to the edge of a cliff and throw him off. And yet, despite the awful tension that arose that day, Mary Ludi pointed out, Jesus was able to rise above the threats of violence and walk safely and undisturbed through that angry mob as if he were a hot knife cutting through butter. How did he do it, you ask? Well, here's what Mary Ludi wrote. I don't know exactly how he did that, but there's something so spare, so serene about that sentence that I think it has to do with being grounded in God, your identity, and your sense of call. Something to do with the lightness, the fearlessness inherent in being so grounded. The safe passage it grants you, not to avoid danger or suffering, but to go straight through it with your freedom intact, with eyes on the prize anchored in and lifted by the joy no mob can kill and no circumstance can alter. And that, my friends, is baptism. Both Jesus's and our own. For baptism is that moment in our lives when God whispers into our ears, "This is my beloved. I find happiness in him, in her." And once we hear those words imprinted forever on our souls, we can go out and lead our lives without fear, listening and looking for situations that resonate with that life-changing declaration, finding that love and assurance in situations that no search engine on a computer can replicate, allowing us to live lives like Jesus. Lives defined by what Mary Ludi called the lightness and the fearlessness inherent in being so grounded. So friends, today on this Baptism of the Lord Sunday, the Sunday when we remember not only Jesus' baptism but our own, I'm going to take a few moments now to engage in an ancient ritual of the church. A rite called the remembrance of our baptism. And in doing so, I'm going to take a few minutes and walk down the aisles of the sanctuary and lightly sprinkle you with water. Not consecrated waters used for the sacrament of baptism, mind you, but rather regular tap water intended simply to remind those of you who have already been baptized of that moment in your life when you too became grounded. And for those of you who have yet to be baptized, but desire and hunger for the sort of clarity and purpose that our baptisms can bring into our life, receive the sprinkle of water as a not-so-subtle nudge to come see me after service regarding your own baptism. And as I sprinkle those waters, I'm going to now invite our special musical guest, Stefan Scoggins, to come forward and share with us the song, No More Nights, as we celebrate the light our baptisms have brought home to us, the light that casts out all expressions of darkness and night.